Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate us now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let our souls look up with a steadfast hope, and our wings be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. All praises be to God for a wonderful day to be able to celebrate the Lord. As we now move into the consideration of God's infallible word, I just ask everyone to say a prayer wherever you are for the outpouring of God's wisdom and God's Holy Spirit in the land, wherever you are calling in from. North, south, east, and west, I continue to ask it and solicit your prayers for the outpouring of God's wisdom and Holy Spirit upon each of us and the communities that we represent. Again, welcome into this beautiful, caring, and nurturing fellowship. Welcome to this place where we would rather to focus on the God of peace rather than the melodrama that often occasions other venues and settings. Today, if you will hear his voice and harden not your heart, today, the center of our focus and our worship is on the Father and the Son, especially under the direction and the leading and the influence of the Holy Ghost. We confess this morning that God was in Christ reconciling us. We are on this call and those who are not on this call. God was in Christ reconciling us back unto himself. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God that by the eternal and the secure work of Christ on that old rugged cross, erected under an oppressive foreign government and in the atmosphere of a doubting domestic religious system. Christ was facing two things, external and internal, but thank God for his secure work, and that now now in 2022, every believer from every nationality and every person of faith from all families of the earth can now be declared righteous by the sacrificial blood of Christ. On this morning, we confess the Lord Jesus with our mouths, and we believe in our hearts that God has resurrected him from the dead. He is the first fruit of many brothers and sisters who will also be resurrected. It is another Sunday in a brand new month, the month of September, but we are still preparing and looking unto the arrival of the soon coming King Jesus. Right on, King Jesus, right on. In a day, in an hour, in a second that we think not, in the twinkling of an eye, the Son of Man shall appear in the clouds to reclaim all who have cheerfully agreed to give him themselves. Family, God loves a cheerful giver. And this morning, he loves each of you because you have decided to cheerfully give of yourself. There's something more valuable this morning than you giving an offering. It is giving yourself cheerfully unto the Lord. You're doing it now by giving him your time to be edified, strengthened, and renewed in this new era of God's glory. My wonderful and my beautiful family, those who are connected with me, but more importantly, with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, a family who I am so very proud to be connected with and related to. We are, as a family, as the body of Christ, as the ecclesia, we are living in a time that many in the world, and no doubt in this country that we call the United States of America, many are conditioned and have been conditioned to accept being lame, L-A-M-E, and at the same time, finding others, other people, other things to blame. This morning, later on today, even if someone asked you, what did Avery Dean preach about? What did he talk about? At least tell them that now is the time. Now. Today, if we shall hear his voice and harden not our heart, now is the time that we stop being lame and finding blame. Rather than being lame and rather than finding blame, we need to remind each other and we need to remind the ecclesia of what Paul said in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on the thing. There needs to be a shift, a paradigm shift, if you will, that we move away from being lame and finding blame. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Most High God. After God created man, the first thing that he did was to give him purpose. And in giving man, who he named Adam, purpose, he gave him a task. He gave him an assignment. And when we read Genesis, the second chapter and the 15th verse, it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. 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 God gave man a purpose, in a task. And sisters, I know that God is not a respecter of persons, but right here, I just have to say this, that what we see here in Genesis 2 and 15 is that the Lord God told man to work. The woman had not been created yet. So as I say this, I'm really thinking about my brothers. I'm thinking about my brothers. We need to be about doing greater works because Christ has returned to the Father. And in particular, hallelujah, we just need to do a better job. As we are celebrating a three-day holiday and thinking about Labor Day, I'm just calling out the brothers right now and saying, we need to do a better job. I don't believe that we will ever find a scripture where God commanded the woman to work, if you will. But if somebody find it, just bring it to my attention, because I really think that we need to be about spoiling the sisters. Hallelujah. And I just want to be able to teach and to preach in the appropriate context. So if you find the scripture, and if I'm wrong, hallelujah, just share it with me. But for my appreciation of the good news, the gospel, God told the man, you got purpose and a task. In fact, Paul said it something like this, just to bring men closer to Christ. And he said, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wife. He didn't say girlfriends. He didn't say lovers. He didn't say playmates. He didn't say side pieces, if you will. But he said, husbands, love your wives. Hallelujah. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So as we consider Genesis 2 and 15, and may I repeat what it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Address it means that the Lord God gave Adam the privilege to tend to the garden, to cultivate the garden, to beautify the garden. And when it goes on, it says, and he told them to keep it. That means that the Lord God gave Adam the assignment to manage and maintain. Manage and maintain the garden. Right now, I can remember so vividly my father, Deacon H.J. McKnight II, saying, you never buy, hallelujah, what you can't afford to maintain. He's a great manager. And in that spirit of being a great manager is the seed of the word of God being planted all the way back in the garden, Genesis 2 and 15. So before the Lord God gave Adam a command about his diet, don't eat of that tree. And before he gave him a wife, God gave him purpose and a task. He gave him an assignment, family. God has given us, through his son, Jesus Christ, he's given us a task to perform as well. And the Lord Jesus has already told us, he said, by this, hallelujah, by this men will know that you're my disciples because of the love that you have one for the other. He told them, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And I repeat again, if it ain't love, it ain't God, because God is love. God has given us, hallelujah, the law of love to fulfill. I ask this morning, are you your brother's keeper? Or are you your sister's keeper? When we read the text in the context from Genesis to Revelation, we ought to be able to walk away after we read the word of God to know that he has not given us the spirit of fear. He has not given us the spirit of being a coward, from backing down from a fight. He has not given us the spirit of laziness, and he has not given us the spirit to shift blame to others, but God, hallelujah, of me Holy Ghost, but God, hallelujah. Is there anyone under the sound of God's clarion call that know him as a now God, who can change things in spite of a not now generation, but God. Hallelujah. As Paul writes to Timothy, has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. God has given us, family, a sound mind, not a double mind, not a triple mind, not double consciousness, not triple consciousness, not a troubled mind, but a sound, hallelujah, mind. But too often, even in this new season of autumn, and for those who are farther up north, I don't know if the leaves are changing now, but they will soon be changing. And in this season of autumn, when we begin to experience the beauty of transformation, we're watching the leaves die, but in the death there is this beauty of God's holiness. And the leaves begin to change color, and they begin to fall away so that the tree can prepare for the new leaves to come. Hallelujah. In this season, we need to get ready to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And in this new era of God's glory, I continue to hear from so many brothers, in particular that I know, who at this age of our life, we should be mature. But I continue to hear this constant refrain to be lame and to blame everyone and everything else for things within our own influence and control that can be changed by God. Hallelujah. So I remind you, hallelujah, the Ecclesia this morning, that God has not given, hallelujah, the brothers, and sisters too, but right now, the brothers, God has not given us the spirit of fear, hallelujah, but power, love, and a sound mind. Help us, Holy Ghost. Many men, many women, many people in every age and in every dominion have run off on external circumstances that at first glance are not favorable to them. They're not favorable to their families. They're not favorable to their community. The Hebrews ran up on slavery in Africa. And then the Africans ran up on slavery in America. But regardless of the geography, regardless of the time period, the people of God, hallelujah, have never been exempt from having the divine power of God to operate in their life, to change their circumstances in the face of adversity, and in spite of a not now generation, we as the living body of Christ, right now, we serve and we worship a now living God who can do all things. Hallelujah. Who can do all things. He's God all by himself. And as we run up on external circumstances in the year and what's remaining of 2022, and even for what we may face beyond today, the word of God comes this morning with a reminder that the answer, the truth, who we are looking for is just a prayer away. It's just a prayer away. In chapter 1, verses 2 through 8, in the book of James, the half-brother of Jesus, they didn't have the same daddy, but they had the same mama. Hallelujah. And in the book that bears his name, James, who was a servant of God, he wrote this. He said, my brethren, And let me add, my sisters, my brothers and my sisters, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work. Let patience have her perfect word, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let her ask of God, it gives to all men and women liberally, and upbraideth it not, and it shall be given him. It shall be given her. But let him or her ask in faith, not wavering, for he and she that waver is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that woman think that he or she shall receive anything of the Lord. And then verse 8 here. Now, I want to emphasize this verse because this is very important here, family. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded woman is unstable in all her ways. The phrase double-minded is not the equivalent of being a hypocrite. It's not the saying of one thing and doing another. The double-minded person symbolizes, if you will, that person who has not resolved in his own mind, in her own mind, that God is. They haven't resolved that yet, that God is. And as I say that, let me underscore that God is singular. I didn't say G-O-D-S. I'm talking about the Lord God by himself. It's not talking about God, not many masters, not competing interests, not various agendas, but God is. What we need to do is have it fully resolved in our own minds that God is. Even when you run up on tests, when you fall into divers temptations, when people have you feeling some type of way, my brothers and my sisters, count it all joy. It's not the time for us to act lame and then blame, but count it all joy, knowing that the trying of our faith, it works unto endurance. Works unto endurance. It gives you stamina. It makes you strong. Any of you who have lifted weights know that if you want to get strong, one way to get stronger is to increase the weight. Increase the weight that you're lifting and the weight that you are resisting. If you want to get stronger, increase the repetitions of what you are lifting. It's a practical example of what James is talking about. And when we run up on various unfavorable circumstances of life, it's not the time to be lame, be lazy. It's not time to shift blame, but it's time to see it as the opportunity for God's work to be done for our good and for his glory. And even when we don't know all that we think we need to know, thank God that we know him. Hallelujah. We don't need to know it all. We just need to know him. When we encounter the unfavorable and often unhealthy adversity of this life, James says, if any of you, if you're not sure about it, just any of you, I don't care about your pedigree and where you come from, your last name, how much money you got, but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. It gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Let him ask in faith. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. But he that wavers, again, is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. family, it is outside of the characteristic of the sons of God and the daughters of God not to know. Our testimony as the sons of God and the daughters of God is not one of ignorance. Paul would write often, my brothers, my sisters, I will not have you ignorant concerning spiritual things. The prophet in Hosea 4:6 reminded us that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. But for us this morning who have come to know God is. That should be outside of our characteristic to say, I don't know. It just basically means we don't want to know because James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let her ask of God. Blessed people of God, don't reject knowledge. The blessed people of God, read. The blessed people of God, study. The blessed people of God, rightly divide the word of truth. We are not those who are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge, because we have rejected knowledge. But when we ask, hallelujah, but when we ask, we must ask with a sound mind, not with a double mind, but with a sound mind that the Lord is. Now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Family, when we go to God, we go to him first. And we go to him and dare not seek a second opinion. We don't need a second opinion on what God has told us to do. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Many around us are unstable right now, family, in all their ways, because they have just simply failed to live consistently with the application of God's rightly divided word. Too often, many around us are only consistent with being inconsistent. They are consistent with being inconsistent. They're only consistent with being inconsistent about giving their best sacrifices and offerings to God cheerfully and willfully. I mean themselves. They are only consistent with being inconsistent to know and practice that their word is their bond. They are consistent with being consistent that they shall not reap what they don't sow, and that if they sow sparingly, they shall reap sparingly. So they don't sow into their children's future. They don't leave an inheritance to their children. They don't sow into their retirement. They don't sow into their alma maters like KMU and other HBCUs. They don't sow, but yet they want to reap. That's double-mindedness. I'm just talking about those who are unstable in all their ways. They won't even read and study the word for themselves without a filter. Without a filter who is motivated more by greed and filthy lucre rather than by the love of Christ. But read the word for yourself. Study the word for yourself. So you'll be a workman, a workwoman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth so you can apply consistently in your own life. And when we get there, hallelujah, we won't be lame and blamed too often when the external circumstances come about. When something happened that really probably was within our control, but it's gotten out of hand now, and it has tracked us down. That's when we cry lame and blame. And we can say, we didn't know. when something happens, when we can say, oh, if I just had enough money. But I believe that on this three-day weekend, a weekend that we recognize in commemoration of those who labor and have labored to make this country and to keep this country great in Christ Jesus. That even when you don't have the money, thank God that you got the time to sow so others can reap. And we got the time to pray unto the living God for the wisdom to dress the God and to keep the God. I'm reminded of my own great-great-grandfather. This morning I thought about in April of 1865, 100 years before I was born, William Powell McKnight, looking at his enlistment papers in the U.S. Army. In April 19, 1865, he's 20 years old. His height is recorded as 5 feet, 6 inches. His complexion is described as dark, and his eyes are black, and his hair is black. And he was born in Charleston, South Carolina, and it says as an occupation. It says here, slave laborer. It just reminded me that, regardless of where he came from, he, and I don't know how he did it, and I never met the man, but thank God one day I think I'm going to meet him in heaven. And I want to ask him, what was inside of you to get you where you are? And I believe that he's going to respond. It wasn't what, but it's who. And because he was connected to who, he has left an inheritance to his children's children. I was reminded of his will that he wrote in 1920, and he made his son Elliot his executor of the state. And Elliot had his youngest son, John, Uncle John McKnight. That's who he left a special blessing for. So as I close, and in consideration that it is Labor Day weekend, and there's still greater works for to come. Jesus, hallelujah, the Lord Jesus, who was in the garden, struggling with God's intended purpose for him. He sought to change God's mind. He sought to change his father's mind. And 3 times he prayed unto the Father, Father, would you just remove this cup from me? But the Father said no. And thank God that Jesus said yes. Hallelujah. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Thank God that he said it again. Not my will, but thy will be done. Hallelujah. In my Christological mind, I could see the Father speaking to the second Adam and reminding him in the garden, in the next garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said to the second Adam that before you can get your breath, hallelujah, you got to do your job on the cross before you can come back and reclaim your bride. Hallelujah. The ecclesia, the church, you first got to do your job on the cross. And family, this morning, I testify before you now that Christ, he did his job. And he labored on the cross. He hung there from the 6th to the 9th hour, from 9 a.m. to high noon. And he declared in victory, it is finished. The debt of sin, past, present, and future, has been canceled by the blood of the crucified one. And the reward of eternal life has been prepaid. And while he was on the cross, I'm so glad that he wasn't lame and he didn't blame. But while he was nailed to that old rugged cross, he said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them for they know not what they do. Even though, Father, I'm saying this in my Christological mind, Father, even though it is in your will for me to be up here, hallelujah, they're still acting out of ignorance. But God, Father, forgive them. my brothers and sisters, that God this morning would not have us ignorant, and he would not have us double-minded. He wants us to be stable in all our ways by making him the focus and the center of what we do as we continue to prepare for the soon coming King. The Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. I still got some work for you to do. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. All praises be to God. Amen.